Guys, happy Sunday, fucking fun day. How exciting is it that we're all here on this place of existence for another day? Super exciting, if I do say so myself, and I did just say so I did. I just kind of wanted to go over something super amazing. I just recognized the other day when I was at my friend's house for her pop-up podcast, that I had started writing a little over a year ago, some things, and I would mantra them, I would over and over again, and I would say, and I would write it in certain colors. So I would envision that color while I was reading these things. And I had kept saying when I'd be at my altar and I'd, give out what I wanted and make sure it was heard, I would say, align my team with me and make it obvious. Help me pursue a purpose-filled journey for the collective advancement to enlightenment. Meaning, and that was all in green. That part was in green because I want it to be so heart-centered and heartfelt. I said, this is what I want. This is the journey I'm going for. And I am so lucky that I get to share this fucking journey with you all. Thank you again so much for coming back to another episode of the Psychonauts Mirror. I super appreciate you. And today, today we get to meet with the Hermetic Flower Company and talk with them about the good work they are putting in for the industry, for this state, for this planet. So without further ado, thank you guys so much for being available and wanting to do this. I super appreciate all of everything that you do, your existence. Thank you so much for picking me and allowing me to do this for my podcast. I just feel honored. Thank you guys so much. And let me drive on over there and get on in it. Okay, hello.
Hello.
All right. Thank you guys so much for meeting with me. I super appreciate you taking the time out of your Sunday to meet with me and talk about your amazing practice.
Of course. Yeah. Appreciate you for coming. Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
Awesome. So go ahead if you will introduce yourself. Start with you.
My name is Benet. I go by Benet Peach on the internet. I am a tattooer in Oklahoma City. And a tentative mystic and psychonaut.
Yes, thank you so much.
And I'm Alex Ritter, and I'm the owner of the Hermetic Flower Company, and also an aspiring psychonaut and alchemist.
Awesome. So when did you get your start into psychedelics, Benet? How old were you, would you say?
I want to say I was 14 years old. And the first one I did was mushrooms.
Were you at 14 setting intentions and doing the whole practice behind what we're doing now as adults? Or were you just kind of having some fun?
I would say I was having some fun, but that first trip I realized that math made up the universe, and I believe I had alien contact, so it all started off pretty crazy. And it's always been intentional since because of that. But I didn't know to make it intentional whatsoever at the time.
Right, of course. I don't think we ever do. Yeah. And what I think is so awesome about you seeing aliens, obviously, are matching UFO tattoos that we've seen. Because I've always felt I have missing time. Like when I sleep, I'll wake up and I'll have bruises, and I swear sometimes I'm being abducted. I swear they've done work on me. I'll wake up with spots like
I woke up with this one day. And I'm like, I was hooked up to a machine, I swear, last
that's
night.
Crazy.
And that's not with the use of the,
yeah,
you know.
Just in your sleep.
Yes. So you getting to do that and be there, you know, and remember it, that's pretty fucking awesome.
It was wild. I remember it very vividly. That's why this tattoo has mushrooms and a UFO, actually.
I love it.
An homage to that experience.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
That's so cool. So when did you start?
Oh, I was a little bit older. I was probably like 17 when I started ingesting psychedelics. And I also, mushrooms were the first thing for me as well.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you setting intentions or just partying?
No, I was partying. Yeah, I was, yeah, escaping, escaping.
Do you think that psychedelics at a younger age helped open up maybe something to help you through this path?
Heck yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Definitely.
Do you feel that way too?
Yeah, but I also feel like a lot of people don't use it intentionally, and that kind of scares me in young kids.
Yeah, definitely. I think me trying acid at 13 mm-hmm. and going home and staring at a computer screen and touching it for like 2 hours thinking it was water. My parents keep walking by. Are you okay? No, there's just a smudge, you know? Like, it's just a smudge. I'm just cleaning, you know? I never set intentions at that age, but I think it kept me open to ideas that this world was fucking weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I was here for reasons that I didn't understand, and I understood that at a young age.
Yeah, I completely agree that it made me realize that, like, physical reality that we perceive with our normal five senses is definitely not all that is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is more.
There's
much
so
more.
Much
there
more.
There is more. Yeah, a lot more.
Yeah. I was just watching, I think it might have been Ancient Aliens or something the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, you see the eyes right here, the third eye,
mm-hmm.
but they say, like, ancient, they might have had mm-hmm. an actual eye here because of the pineal gland. That,
yeah.
There was probably a projection that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to think about.
I've definitely felt like that area is, like, activated during psychedelics and meditation, for sure.
I agree.
Heavily.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And a lot of connections with, like, it secreting DMT naturally. And the Eye of Horus is supposed to be a pineal gland, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Symbolic of it.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Have you done any practicing while you've been in psychedelics? I don't know how to... Maybe English isn't my first language. Do you practice, I don't want to say witchcraft.
Mm-hmm, magic.
You know, magic, mm-hmm. There we go. Do you practice magic when you're in medicine?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, as well.
What's your medicine of choice that you use?
Mushrooms is my favorite, hands down.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
I like acid.
Acid?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Man, do you see a lot of machine elves?
I've never quite gotten to the machine elves, and I think that's more on the DMT realms too. But definitely, like, gestures, definitely
trickster entities.
Yeah, trickster entities. I've actually seen that right behind you, the Cocopelli, on a trip, and I didn't even know what it was, and they were just like dancing.
Oh,
yeah,
getting
it was just like
in
wow.
the Grand Canyon. Right?
In the Grand Canyon, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen machine elves?
No, oh well, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Gnomes. I would say, mushrooms.
Gnomes.
I love mushrooms. And so in my backyard, people don't live behind me, so the grass just grows and grows and grows, and so I like to eat me some mushrooms and go sit out there, and I will see just like
little entities.
Yes,
yeah.
Running through, scurrying through. Spiderwick Chronicles is what it reminds me of.
So
yeah,
cute.
The little scurrying through. Yeah. So that's kind of like elfish.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these experiences like transcend the language that we have, so it's hard to even like vocalize or say exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, yeah, because DMT always takes me through eyes and balloons and
yeah,
all kinds of stuff. And I try to remember,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like it always just
like slips like a dream. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is where magic comes really heavily in play with the whole mindfulness, mm-hmm. because it allows you, while practicing it, allows you to become more focused where your energy is, mm-hmm. so that when you have those experiences, you're able to retain and articulate it better.
Yeah, for example, if you could like invoke Mercury during a psychedelic experience to be able to like remember it logically and be able to speak of it, because he dominates language and like writing, vocal expression,
yeah. Wisdom.
So we play around with a lot of stuff like that, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
It's fun.
Man, yeah. I would never... I'm just a baby to all of this because I don't know about... When I work, I don't even know what to say. I just talk to the angels like they're right there, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, I just talk like to the point. I don't know... I don't have anyone to practice with, so mm-hmm. I'm like trying to learn things mm-hmm. and pull things from here and there, but... I would just love to pick your brain one day.
Yeah, anytime.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, but what you're doing is like the most important thing that you can do, because it's virgin in the way that it's like everything that you're intuitively getting mm-hmm. every single time is a different experience, right? So it's virgin to you. The practice is virgin, right? So the more you integrate those intuitive things that you're learning, that becomes your magic. That becomes your practice.
I also believe that anything you might use in a ritual, like a correspondence, such as an herb or a scent or a crystal or anything, is literally just to stimulate your mind so that you can envision it and make it reality, you know? So as long as your mind is being stimulated and you're, like, seeing the angels there, like, I think that's the same thing.
The same as setting intention. It's the exact same, but you're using more tools. You're bringing in more tools into the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you say that maybe writing is something that should be integrated into what I'm doing?
If it would help you, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes, 100%, because you know, Moon and Gemini over here, I love to write.
I was gonna say your chart.
And that's a lot of what I do is like, I draw out my Metatron's cube, I draw it out, and then I'm like, okay, here's my base, here's my foundation, and then I go in and I'm writing in everything in the spheres, right? And I'm writing the things that I want to set my intention to, and that's what really helps me the best.
That's so cool. Man.
Something could be fun to experiment with,
Like
rosemary,
try it next time.
For example, helps you remember, so you could like diffuse some of that or put some on while you're trying to write.
That's
playing
good.
With correspondences.
Yeah, because when I am in the spirit molecule medicine, I've been keeping my eyes open and I see like what's all over Damien Eccles. And so I was like, am I covered in, like, spells? Mm-hmm. Or what is this? Mm-hmm. And I asked the alchemist. I told him, I said, do you think maybe I could get into medicine and I could tell you what it looked like? Like, we could maybe I could see what it says all over me? Mm-hmm. Because I think that has maybe something there behind it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah, have you seen Alison Gray's art? Alex Gray's wife.
Oh, I've seen Alex Gray's.
His wife does all psychedelic paintings with, she calls it like the writing that she sees on psychedelics. They're incredible.
The cosmic language.
It. Yeah, and they look a lot like that.
Man, I need to look into
it. It's almost like a combination of Hebrew and Hebrew and like Sanskrit and like a little Egyptian.
Celtic,
yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's like a combination of all of them. Yeah. It really is. Yeah, I've seen that float. It floats through the air sometimes,
like ribbons.
Yeah, and Alison Gray just made that description on a post earlier today, and I was like, Bunny. Like the ribbons in the air, and all the information is in the ribbons, you know? And you're just like looking at it, and you're like, wow, what is that? And she like nails it right on the board. Oh yeah, here it is, the cosmic language.
These
and
artists
looks
that
like
can
it.
Just like screenshot the realm and replicate it.
Yes,
for their existence.
Yeah,
that
seriously.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
oh my
it's crazy.
God, I'm starting to use that now.
That's
just
crazy.
Screenshot it and paint it and
right.
Man, how cool is that? How cool is that? So when did y'all meet?
We met in Portland 3 years ago.
Yeah.
At my shop.
So were you tattooing in Portland?
Yes, I was. It was in my first year. I was only a few months in the tattooing, but he told me he wanted an ancient alien DMT tattoo. So I was like, yes, let's do it.
That is so cool. So it was that tattoo that... Y'all started talking? Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Yeah, this one on my forearm here.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Y'all are so cosmically aligned.
Aligned.
There we go. Thank you for speaking, because I wouldn't have known what to say. So you have, where was I going with this? So what shop do you work at right now?
Sacred Soul Collective.
Okay. I get lost. I'm lost right now.
It's okay. It's okay. A private all-female shop. It's awesome. It's by appointment only.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So awesome. So did you start working there immediately?
Yeah, actually, I got in contact, me and the owner, over Instagram before I even moved here. It's been the absolute best blessing. That's it's like so a cool. temple in there. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Because she was fighting it so hard in Portland. She was like, where am I going to find an all-female shop?
So that's what you were doing there, was all-female in Portland?
Yes. Oh, I was working with my best friend, so I like really had a nice setup. And she was a witch too, more like a Celtic, pagan, I would say.
Norse.
Yeah. But we really taught each other a lot.
Yeah.
And it was like very ideal for me. But here is as well, on a very different way.
Awesome.
It's definitely aligned.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you talked her into coming here.
Yeah.
Well, it was, yeah, I didn't really talk her into it. I was just like, you know, honey, this is probably the best route for us. I was unemployed. I was actually just collecting unemployment at the time.
Yeah.
Ajna was about to be here. I was like, here we go, honey. It's like, this is it. We have this great opportunity. We can go do this, or, you know, we can slug it out here.
That was probably like the most we've ever fought over anything.
Oh my gosh, so much.
I'm stubborn.
So much reactive. But me too, though. I'm reactive. So as soon as she's being stubborn and like I'm hitting
reacting.
A wall, I'm like, oh, you know, I'm like, why? Why? Oh, but it was such a great learning experience.
Absolutely.
Great
challenges. So humbling, yeah.
It made y'all stronger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Even in myself, or like in my trust of the universe, like, reminder that I don't know shit.
Right.
And to trust it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and pause real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to talk about some plant medicine and some journeying and the things that you guys do. Just tell me some cool stories that you guys have.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I would say the most profound, they're all profound.
Right.
But I would say the one that really like shook me to my core, was an experience in the Oregon desert. And it's this place called Estes Mountain. And I was with my two good buddies, Jeremy and Ben, and we had taken with us on our journey, a handful of acid, some nitrous oxide, so, whippets is what the kids call them these days, and also a little bit of mushrooms and some DMT, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of this experience is that we want to get away from everything and to be in silence, right?
Right.
So we're out there looking for silence, and we want to like push the limits of our minds. So we get there, we ingest about 300 mics of LSD, which is about the standard these days is like 75. So it's about two really good dosed.
Right, right.
And we begin to climb this mountain in the middle of the desert, right? And we're climbing this mountain, and it's like we're starting to feel it come on, right? And we're like, okay,
right.
This is cool. And we're finally at the apex of the mountain, and we're all cheering. And like, my buddy Ben has this whole like Zeus thing that he does. So he's like banging on his chest at the top of the mountain, and we see a storm rolling in. And we're like, okay, time to go back down because camp's way down there. We're at the top of this mountain. We're getting eaten by mosquitoes.
Right.
Let's go, right? We're starting to trip a little bit too much. Let's go. So we get down the mountain, and as soon as we get down the mountain, that heavy peak is starting to hit. So this is when we decide, okay, let's put up our chairs and let's start hitting the nitrous. So I don't know if you're familiar with what nitrous does while you're on psychedelics. While you're on psychedelics, it kind of has this way of spinning you into a what we call a time loop, right? Where there's a certain key or a phrase that while you're under the nitrous, it can send you through this time loop, right? Now, it can be used to people's disadvantages of being like, you know, kind of confusing, like what's going on sort of thing. Or it can be used as like a way of like tapping into the here and now of history, right? So if you're asking the right questions, you can get into a nice time loop on this nitrous, which is what we're trying to do. But of course, we're not very mindful at this time, and it's kind of getting us a little confused. But we're seeing these bits of history happening, and it's very biblical at this point. So now we're starting to get this whole Cain and Abel feel. I don't know if you're familiar with the Cain and Abel story, but God asks, you know, for the offerings, and Cain's like, here's my crops, and he's like, you know, I'm good on the crops, and Abel's like, here's my sheep, you know, and kills the sheep, and God's like, oh yeah, sheep, let's go, right? And and he's like, oh yeah, good, praising Abel, and Cain's pissed, and Cain's like, okay, so he kills Abel, and God's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing, you know, like, what are you doing? And he's like, why do you accept his offering, right? So there's this whole like sacrifice element because Source is wanting an offering. So we're like, okay, this is getting really weird. Let's move into the tent. So we get into the tent, right? And at this time, all the drugs have been ingested. So we've eaten our psilocybin. We've done the nitrous. We're now moving into the tent to work on the DMT and just to smoke cannabis, right? So we're sitting kind of similarly how we are now with one on my right, one on our left, and at the top, there's no light, just the nighttime, and at the top of the tent, you're seeing this aura, or this ball of energy. It's like starting to manifest itself, and it has light to it, right? So it's like, okay, we're here, we're where we need to be, like, we can obviously see, like, I can, like, I can legitimately take my fingers and pull the fabric of reality apart. It's like we're in medicine, we're in the medicine that heavy, right? So we're going back and forth in all of our questions, right? So like, who are we? Where do we come from? You know, all these philosophical questions that probably people were doing way back in the day in the desert, right? So it's like, what are we doing? Anyway, so it come to find out that we're probably invoking and evoking things all around us, and it's getting a little scary. At one point, my dog is with me, Clay. Bless his heart, such a pure boxer dog. My buddy Ben at one point was like, so are we going to sacrifice the dog? I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? Yeah. I'm like, dude, no, what are you talking
we're
about?
We're vegan.
We're vegan. First what are you talking about? And the whole reason he said it is because there was this, I don't, have you ever been in the collective conscious with other minds?
I don't think so.
So, like, when you have a close bond with people, all right, just from my experience with my close friends, there is a way to integrate your conscious together to be in this collective conscious, right? So you're all having the same thoughts, but nobody's talking. No one's talking. You're having the same thoughts. Who's having the thought, right? Like, who's
orchestrating it?
Yeah, exactly. Who's orchestrating it, right? Like a puppet, right?
Yes.
So the reason he said that is because the thought was there. And so we're all thinking, you know, something is trying to make this happen, right? Trying to push the boundaries because we're probably pushing the boundaries. And at that point, I'm like, no, like, no, Ben, like, we're not doing that. We're absolutely not doing that. I'm like, and can you not feel that? We're all connected right now. Can you not feel this right now, Ben? Like, stop. Like, this is not good. And he was like, okay. And he was like, are you sure that we're all connected? And he's like, keeps doing all these little mind games. And I'm like, Ben, like, dude, like, this is real, right? You know, like, this is actually real. And I think it scared all of us to the point where it was kind of like, okay, let's go to sleep now. Mm-hmm. My buddy's over here crying. Ben's over here thinking, like, you know, I don't know what he's got going on over there. I'm over here trying to stay centered. I'm like, I got this whole Jesus Christ thing going on, you know? Yes. I'm like, no, I'm trying to, like,
Pisces complex.
Yeah, I'm trying to feel my Christos, you know? I'm trying to feel that Christ energy because I can feel it coming down. It's like a beam, you know?
Yes.
And I'm like, no, you know? And that scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimately scared the shit out of me. And we woke up the next morning in the middle of the desert. There's nothing around. I'm like... looking at them, like, eating my fruit, and I'm like, dude, we gotta get out of here. Like, I need to go make sense of what happened, because it was really intense.
But that trip threw you further into, like, the importance of archetypes, and perhaps even, like, Enlil and Enki.
Yeah, and protection, like, yeah.
Yeah, that, like, not just tripping in the desert without, like, some type of, like, protection if you're gonna do magic while you're high, I think, you know?
It was kind of like my first experience with Source being like, if you're gonna play, you know, you better be ready.
Yeah.
Like, sort of thing. So, because at the time, like, I don't know, I'm just going off my intuition, you know? Like, this is what my intuition says. My buddies are here with me, like, let's go.
You have Moon in Gemini, so you kind of have that, like, trickster entity anyway, so I'm sure, like, even if subconsciously, like, you want to play with something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So things are going to show up.
I don't even know if it's subconscious.
Yeah, exactly. You're, like, bringing it.
Yeah, I said, you know, like, I enjoy the alien aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The otherworldly aspect. I like...
Mm-hmm.
being able to touch that, you know, or, like, even come close to that. So anything now, right, I'm, like, fully protected. Like, I got my spacesuit on. I got my, you know, I got my sword, you know. I'm, like, ready to go to war. In the desert, I was not ready to go to war. It kicked my ass.
Well, we were also, like, involved with the Portland Entheogenic Research Society, and one of my friends was using psychedelics to try and contact aliens. So I think... it was, like, the theme of the year for us.
That is...
yeah, there's groups of people there that, like, all just take psychedelics and mindfully manifest lights in the sky, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, on Mount Hood, Mount Shasta, and in California is, like, really popular for stuff like that.
Isn't there a place in California that this man built, and it was constructed by... it's, like, Joshua's Tree in that area? He built this structure that was supposed to...
I think I know what you're talking
about. Is that
on
Mount Shasta?
No, but they built it without, like, metal screws and stuff.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. It's a guy, he worked off of Tesla's work. Dang, I know who you're talking about.
Yes.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't
is it
know
on
what
a ley line? Do you know about
it's on the ley lines, yeah.
Yes, it is. I've always said in Oklahoma, once I made it, I wanted to go to the place in Oklahoma where the ley lines met.
Broken Bow?
Southeast.
Broken Bow.
Yeah. It's amazing there. We stayed there. And actually in Eureka Springs, in Arkansas, there is a vortex, which is where a lot of them meet. And our last trip together was there. We took mushrooms in the dark and channeled entities, and it was, like, amazing.
It was brilliant.
If you can trip on a vortex or a ley line, highly recommend it.
I would love to.
There's
it
definitely something
the
there. Yeah, there's something.
It's like
that.
Electromagnetic.
Yeah.
It's some sort of electromagnetic something, and it thins the veil.
Mm-hmm.
It legit, like, you can see in the air that it's like, oh, it's like, even sober, you're like, oh, yeah, it's thin.
Something,
right now.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Do you have any cool stories like that?
Oh, I don't know about that specific. I just feel like things like the psychic connection he was talking about with people, like being able to talk with, like, with our minds without speaking vocally, all the things the government has studied too. Like, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Seeing sound bend reality was one of the things that completely changed my life for sure, in terms of understanding the universe as vibratory, you know, things like that. And this last one that we were just talking about in Eureka Springs was one of the first times when I've been with somebody else while laying in the dark and doing mushrooms, like McKenna style.
Right.
And I feel like I had so many downloads and entities, and it was the most reassuring and peaceful trip I think I've ever had. It's really cool to do it with intention like that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Have you tripped in the dark ever?
Yeah, so the ceremony, I mean, yeah, we do that. I am part of it's usually outside, mm-hmm. In the dark. Mm-hmm. I think have you heard about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we lay around a fire, mm-hmm. And we have facilitators, mm-hmm. and they practice around you, and
yeah.
Have
you ever tried total darkness? It sounds intimidating, but I mean, I love it. We even blindfold ourselves on DMT. Yeah.
Because I like to look at myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you were saying that you see the scriptures.
It can be, you know, distracting.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I think I'm doing.
Is distracting yourself?
Yes.
You should try a blindfold.
Yeah.
And I did once.
Did you like it?
I loved it, so yeah. I need to do it again.
Yeah. People are usually intimidated when we're like offering DMT to somebody for the first time, mm-hmm. but I've found that almost every single time in retrospect after, they're like, oh, I understand why you encourage the blindfold, and next time I will try that.
Mm-hmm. And here's where I can say the metaphor of the planting a seed in darkness, mm-hmm. is essentially what we
under
do
under the soil.
Yeah, under the soil, deep in the soil, so that it can find its way to the light, because you will never flourish without going through that darkness. Mm-hmm. You will never, you can't.
As you know.
You can't.
Yeah.
You just can't.
Yeah. I think I need to spend more time with my eyes closed.
Yeah. It's intimidating, but it's actually, Terrence McKenna says the abyss is a feather bed, and that's what I always tell myself. Because it's absolutely true. Like, you just plunge yourself and it catches you.
You gotta push past the abyss.
Yeah.
You gotta push past it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think more intentions I need to set.
Yeah.
Doing it.
It's always like a work in progress.
Yeah.
Little things, yeah.
Man.
It's a fun journey.
I'm a super little pro. I'm like baby steps.
Well,
like
that's okay.
Inching.
Yeah.
Those are the best. That's the best way to do anything.
Yeah.
You're obviously self-aware and like engaging with your environment. I think that's all it takes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. So when y'all met, you said, where'd you go?
Oh,
you had a story together.
We went to the Oregon Eclipse Festival.
Yeah.
And that was another journey all within itself.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Like, 5 or 6 day festival.
Yeah, 5. Have you ever been to a festival?
I have been to Rocklahoma. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
And that's a festival. You camp outside, mm-hmm. and all that. So, yeah, I've done that before. Mm-hmm.
So, the Oregon Eclipse... So, picture that festival.
Okay.
But now we're going to add transformational to the title.
Yeah.
So the Oregon Eclipse Festival was a collaborative event put on by several different people or companies all around the world that specialize in transformation festivals. So like...
In the path of totality with an eclipse.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say that every single person that showed up was like, had that intention, but you definitely, I'd say the majority of people...
Yeah, I would say at least like 70% of the people there, their intention is to, they're there for the, to have a great experience.
And to ingest psychedelics.
Yeah. Yeah.
For
right.
Yeah.
Right.
To ingest psychedelics and have a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So, did y'all meet there? Y'all went there together?
We went there shortly after meeting.
Yeah. When I was under the needle getting my tattoo, I was like, have you heard of this festival, like, happening in the Oregon Desert?
And I had been having dreams every single night telling me to go. And then I had another friend that was going, and between that and him mentioning it, I was like, okay, I'm going to buy a ticket. But I went with him and his friends. I didn't really know them. My girlfriend that I went with, I didn't really know her. But it was like the perfect alchemy of people. It was incredible.
That's
it was
so
life-changing.
Silly group of people, I tell you what. It was so funny. Like,
so funny.
My buddies had just gotten out of the Navy, and like some of them were still in the Navy
at
the time.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah,
so it was,
I never thought I'd have that experience with Navy kids.
It was so much fun.
Mind-blowing.
We had a blast. Mm-hmm. It was very connecting, mm-hmm. to say the least.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
To watch the totality of the eclipse with people that you like.
Thousands of people too.
Yeah, thousands of people like it commanded your attention.
Yeah.
Even
it was
the
like a
birds
10-minute
were silent.
Eclipse. Like the bats come out because they're confused.
Yeah.
Like it's
really
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you hear them, see them, or anything?
All of it.
The only thing
nature
that,
like, freaks out.
Nature, yeah. If it's busy during the day, nature, it shuts up. If it's busy during the night, nature, it comes out. Yeah, it was and you can look at it without the glasses on once it's there, you know.
Yeah.
And it is just doing this dance that you're just like, holy shit.
And in a sense, like, I think it's connecting to your ancestors too, because imagine being alive back then and, like, the giant ball of fire in the sky is gone. Like, yeah. You probably, like,
yeah,
freak out, or at least think it's something monumental and significant.
Like, yeah, it would definitely go down in history.
yeah
it
was very important. I mean, yeah. What significance do those things have, do you believe?
Eclipses?
Yes. Do you think they're, like, certain gateways, or
probably
that's
yeah.
what I would say is they're like gateways. They're a door. Yeah, it's like a doorway to something.
Yeah.
What it is, I think we've lost completely. But
even equinoxes and all of that, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, sunrise and sunset. Yeah. Humans have always worked with these things. We're just too busy on our Instagram these days to notice.
I know. I say that all the time because not only are we too busy on social media, but we have televisions,
mm-hmm.
and then we have video games, mm-hmm. and TikTok.
Yeah.
I would always lay outside with my kids, and we'd watch the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids are 13 and 10. Mm-hmm. My daughter's about to be 11.
Mm-hmm.
But they still would rather, like, they love going outside and looking at
I'm
the stars.
I'm so relieved to hear that.
Yeah.
Because I really think that all these things, the media is, like, purposefully intentional to take us away from
yes.
looking inwards and being attached with ourselves. So we stay in this ridiculous, never-ending, perpetual cycle of, like, sheep to the cosmic slaughter of capitalism. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's malicious. It's very malicious.
It's a war. It's a war on consciousness.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's an absolute war on consciousness.
I'm so grateful to hear that your kids can transcend that despite the presence
yes.
of all this, because I definitely worry about raising a child in this environment.
I can always say, keep them outside.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them looking up. My kids will look at clouds at my boy 13 and see pictures and say, hey, you see that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or
mm-hmm.
look at the stars and see the shapes in the stars.
Yeah.
Always keep them outside.
Teach them constellations. Yeah.
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 We have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and you were
too hard.
Yeah, you were practicing when he was inside of you.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. y'all are so
yeah.
good. Y'all are so good.
People tease me sometimes. They're like, what if your kid is like a Christian jock in high school? Like the antithesis of what you are.
No, don't. That is no. Well, he'll be whatever he wants to be, right?
Absolutely.
Whatever he wants to be. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be happy for that.
But definitely. The best we can do is help him at least try to see past the illusions
yes.
of modern day society. Because it's crazy.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I hope that what we are doing
mm-hmm.
as the collective we are,
mm-hmm.
seeding the mind so people can hear the good things, because I know you had to go through trauma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went through that. You've had to go through things in your life, being in the military even. Like,
oh, yeah.
I have the biggest heart for vets. For my vets. It was so weird with manifesting, because the other day I was thinking of my vet friend that I always worry for him. I always worry for him. I always think, okay, I love you. You're fine. You know, I always try to send messages, you know, telepathically. I don't know if I'm doing anything, but I always try to send, you know, that to my vet friends, because they've been subjected to so many things that,
totally.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even. My nephew is in the military right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's in the army. And I worry for him. And I think I have to stop the worry.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to start centering, like, better thoughts and prayers and sending,
mm-hmm.
you know, different kinds of frequencies to him. Because
yeah.
that's
You have
crazy.
To transmute it. Yeah, you
yeah.
got to transmute it, because they don't need any more worry.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The best that
right.
we can do as people is just hope that they are going to be okay, and to just send them all that love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think you're doing the best thing that you can be.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
Definitely psychological warfare in the
military. It's different in the Navy, yeah. Or in the military in general. Like, my best friend now that I work, he's like my right-hand man, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
He was my boss in the Navy, when I was in the Navy. So when I was getting out, I told him, he was about to get out a few months later, I was like, man, come with me. Come with me to grow cannabis. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but like, let's go give it a shot, you know? Like, because once you do two more years, man, you're stuck in here. And, like, you're not happy. Like, none of us are happy in here.
No.
Like, look around. No one is happy here. Get out. We got to get out. I'm so thankful he, like, was like, okay, let's go. He trusted me enough to be like, let's go. Follow me all the way from Italy.
And was like,
let's do this. Yeah. Yep. From Portland and then now to here. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. About having to break some brainwashing. Crazy. Yeah.
They try to hold you in this, the fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doing what I'm doing, I'm trying to break fear.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm trying to show my children because I have always shown them fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, to be little.
Mm-hmm.
And to just keep your voice down. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell them now, like, no, like, you're here in the now. Like, be here, be present, make yourself known, you know, because you're spreading, like, the light. You're divinely channeling your light to this world by being authentic to yourself.
And absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just...
That gives me goosebumps. Yeah. That's the good stuff. You're exactly right.
Have you listened to the Duncan Trussell and Allison and Alex Gray podcast? They talk about how having a child is the ultimate initiation. Like, despite any magic or psychedelics, like, having a kid, like, forces you to, like, be your best self in the world. And I completely feel that.
Yeah.
It's, like, our main motivation beyond anything. To be our highest selves.
Yeah, no, like, my mind's blown. I completely resonate with that because when I was not living correctly, when I was super letting shadow just run my life, I did not know how to integrate my shadow. So shadow was literally running my life for me. And so I was an autopilot. And then whenever I finally woke up, I was like, whoa, my children, I can literally channel divine source energy through them as if I break these cycles.
Totally.
And I quit doing these damn things that put me in this little nutshell.
Totally. It's such motivation too, because they're such, like, pure little sponges you can project anything onto, which is, like, any wound we have from parents is that, I think. They project their broken inner child onto the blank canvas of their own children.
Oh, man.
But breaking that cycle is, like, one of the best things we can do. Yeah.
Mm. Yes, it is. Yeah,
if not the best thing we can do. Yeah. It leads you to so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It literally, like, breaks you open to other things.
Yeah, it breaks your heart open.
Like an egg.
Yeah.
Like nothing. So broke my heart wide open. Yeah. That's really, I think, what made me want to lead my life through this journey with unconditional love, is I've always been that way, and that's always been my weakness, quote unquote, was my unconditional love, my love that I had in my heart for people, because I didn't know boundaries, so I would get run all over. But when I started learning about boundaries and stuff, I was able to become, like, I was able to become unconditional love. I was able to start showing more, like, what I was giving to everyone. I was able to really show people, like, this is how you should give it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't let people treat you like shit.
Yeah.
You know,
not give it access to everyone. Yeah. Or everyone access to it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because every time I did, and I was, like, working in bars, and
My God, that's... worked in bars.
The worst place to be, like, this unconditional sacred heart.
Yeah.
I just fell into so many low-level vibrations.
I understand completely, yeah.
Yeah. So you used to work in bars?
Yeah, for a while.
How was that?
Just crazy.
Are you, you're empath, intuitive, all that, so you could just feel all the...
Yeah, and I was heavily, definitely reliant on drugs and alcohol for a long time, so... Mm-hmm. It was the perfect environment to enable that.
Yeah. That was my having my cake and eating it too.
Exactly.
And working in the bars.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's the lifestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So happy to be out of it.
I know.
Yeah.
Learned a lot, but done.
Bye. Yeah, thank you for all those lessons. Yes. I no longer resonate with those lessons.
Don't have to do it a single more time.
No, I don't need those lessons no more. You keep them over there.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I feel that.
Okay. All right, I wanted to jump into your new collab that is going on.
Yes, Mammoth Processing. So, this is our first big-time commercial collaboration sort of thing. So what essentially goes down is growers take material to a processor and they process it down into a concentrate or an extract. And that's like the epitome of all the cannabinoids and THC. You know, everything is just one big goo ball, right? It's very potent. And so since Mammoth was having such good luck with all these other organic growers and high-quality medicine growers, I really wanted to put my hat out there and be like, hey, you know, let's do something. And so actually another patient / dispensary manager had told me, reached out to me and was like, hey, I think these people would be great to do a collab with. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this is, it's on. So they pretty much use CO2 to heat and cool my material, and that goes into a cartridge, which is easily, manageable for people who don't like to smoke all the time, or like maybe it's more of a convenience thing. They're at the office, they have to, you know, go medicate while they're at work because their back hurts, you know, these sorts of things.
They can't go in reeking or anything.
Exactly, right. Yeah, so that way, I kind of was able to diversify my demographic for patients by giving them another item that they could use to medicate with.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's great practice.
Yeah.
Awesome. So it's going along great. Are they already out, the cartridges already out in dispensaries yet?
They're out there, yeah. I know there's a few at Likewise, Planet Hollyweed, off the top of my head, I don't know that many dispensaries because I just really, they tag me in it and then I repost it, you know? So, I would say a lot of the cities in the city right now have the cartridges.
Awesome.
And there's two, there is the Pineapple Sunday one. And then there's the Blunicorn one. And the Blunicorn is my favorite one.
The Blunicorn.
Yeah.
I like the Blunicorn.
That's really good. Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
That's awesome.
Super smooth.
That's awesome. So have you smoked both of them?
Yeah. I have a few of them. I keep a lot of them here. They're my favorite cartridge. They're my go-to.
Good.
Yeah. I let her smoke it all the time. She likes it too.
Is that one your favorite too?
You know better than I do which one's my favorite.
I think you like the pineapple one.
Oh, okay.
Blunicorn for at nighttime.
Yeah.
Is that an indica?
Yeah. More heavy on the beta carophyllene, or the myrcene as well, which is kind of the more sedative terpene. So in combination with the THC, that creates the entourage effect. So that's how you get the indica term with the downer effects.
Ooh, yeah. I like that. I've not always been an indica person. I used to love sativa.
Yeah.
And then something happened mid-30s, and it was like, girl, you can't sativa no longer. I don't know what terpenes, what's going on, but I have to smoke indica, it seems like now.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Really?
Sweet.
Was it a paranoia thing?
I get almost like, I feel like the eyes of the universe are looking all on me. I'm like,
definitely.
Do I look weird?
Like social anxiety?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I suffer from that anyways.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe not doing that.
I totally understand that. A lot, you know, I can say from experience, right? If it's a plant grown with a salt-based nutrient pack. And what I mean by salt-based, I mean more like organic chemicals from out of bottles, like hydro. setup, right? So they're like, I think of it as like giving a human steroids, right? Mm-hmm. Essentially. Yeah. Or you can compare it to like my organic garden. Would you like a tomato out of my organic garden? Or would you like one out of the lab, right? So like the lab one, you're going to get all those residual, even though they might say it's clean product, like who really knows, you know, you might actually get those residual effects that create more paranoia for yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I found like more organically grown cannabis creates a longer lasting effect, but the paranoia is really offset because of the symbiotic relationship that goes on in the soil that helps aid in the plant and growing the plant. So you get that aspect, which kind of like redefines the experience.
Mm. So maybe if I were to get a sativa and it wasn't grown in the bed, it was grown.
I would even say like maybe you look for things like terpene profiles that you want to match specifically with your intention. So like if you're gonna smoke for the more like euphoric or creative effects, you look for the terpenes that create that effect. So you might find that, you know, those are the terpenes you really enjoy, and this is a hybrid over here, or even a hybrid indica, but the terpene profile is there, so you're like and you get it, and it gives you that more uplifting euphoric effect that you're looking for, that's more balanced. So then you're like, oh, I get all the creativity, I get all this body euphoria, you know, like I get all of this like mind expansion stuff without any of the, oh, I'm worried if people are looking at me.
Like you get the benefits rather than the psychological warfare that you're having.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Awesome. So you have a pretty small crew that you work with.
Yeah.
I think about like some rapper says, small crew, I only fuck with a small crew.
Yeah.
But is there a reasoning as to why you would rather have a small crew?
I enjoy, so as a new boss and kind of like a new leader, and things that I've seen like other bosses and leaders do is, and this whole thing is like when you start a business, you want to have a strong foundation.
Right.
So I think about it as like, you know, on a pyramid, you're going to have like your, any building really, you have your capstone first and then your foundation, which is the four points of your frame. So to my mind, I'm thinking like, I need to be like a sturdy foundation. I don't want a large crew that I have to manage all the time. I want a small crew that I can essentially make little me's out of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they get the personal hands-on time with me all the time. So it's like, no, like I can smack them on the hand and be like, no, bad habit. Like, let's change that habit now.
Yeah.
Or like if I'm learning something new, we're all learning something new. So it's like, hey, look, I don't know this. Let's all learn this. So we're all on the same page as this thing grows together. Not only that, those aspects, but it saves the company money in the long run. So like from a business aspect, it's smart of me to run lean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that that makes it to where you have way better, like, intimate relationships with each other.
Definitely.
You can grow together and...
Exactly.
And they're a lot of close friends.
Yeah, two of them are my best, absolute best friends. Jeremy, like I said earlier, he's been with me since, 2013? We met in Sicily, and he came to be my new boss on the island. And he's been with me ever since. And then my left-hand man is Eric. And he is actually, I don't know if you saw the posts that I posted about, but his birthday was just like a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
and,
I loved the picture of
him. We call him Don Julio. I told him to keep that. it looks amazing on you. But Eric and I met back when I was actually 13 and I was getting bullied on the bus, and Eric beat the shit out of the bully as we got off the bus, and we were friends ever since then. So, and Eric Eric's amazing. He was also my first chronic weed dealer in high school. So we've been good friends. So it's cool to come back. Yeah, and he actually moved to California, and he's been in California for a long time. And I was like, man, I'm starting this thing out here in Oklahoma. like, you want to be closer to home? And he's like, dude, I'm there. And I'm like, no, he's not going to come. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, there he is on my doorstep.
Like, just showed up.
Cool. Yeah, just showed up. Like, all right, let's go. Mm-hmm. And then the newest addition is Jacob Lackey, who I think you know.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Man, he is awesome. He has been a real great addition to the team. And just, like, we all hit it off great. And like, it's really cool to have a small team of people that not only they see the larger picture of what the business can offer, but the larger picture of the philosophy, the medicine, all of it. You know, it's like all encompassing. So I think it helps add motivation to the whole team.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I would love to one day be able to work right with my friends and grow such amazing medicine. What you do is it's really beautiful.
Thank you.
And I'm so thankful that we have people in Oklahoma that want to do this, because you're healing the collective, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah. I got to try some of your medicine. So.
Yeah, how did you like that? Gorilla Skittles, by the
Gorilla
way.
Gorilla Skittles. I got it from Kind, and those people there are really cool.
Yeah.
Those are real cool guys.
Yeah.
But your medicine was the smell
Thank
of
you.
It, first of all.
Thank you. There's those terpenes I'm talking about. Yeah.
Man, you're working them terps.
Yeah, working the terps. Working the terps. Yeah, we would be what you consider terp hunters. So that's, we are. We really work diligently to even, like, seed hunt and pheno hunt specific terpenes. We're not even looking at the average THC profiles. We're going just off terpenes alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And like you said, you're working with the terpenes that are in the cannabis flower during certain moon cycles and certain times of the year, and that's best with that time. So
I just see it as like Benet really helped me understand the moon cycles a lot, right, with the water retention and how and how it plays such a huge part on even the water within our bodies, right? So from a more scientific standpoint, when we flip and harvest around the full moon and full new moons, it will play a part in the soil moisture and the plant moisture. So when we harvest on that full moon, when we stop watering so that the plant can uptake all of its water, and that full moon helps draw it all up, and we kind of turn off all the lights, we let it cure for a few days while still on the plant.
Oh, wow.
So that all that water is just getting soaked out, and then that's when we just cut them all down. So she really helped me understand the scientific aspects of that, and then not only that, but the metaphysical aspects of, well, as being like, you know, there's magic behind this moon. You know, it's reflecting that sun's energy. Like, you got to tap into that. So
that's
cool. From a metaphysical standpoint, I'm like, you know, this is full moon power, baby. Like, you can't get better cannabis than this. This is it with the moon. Like, what do you got?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that with me.
Yeah,
I love
of course.
That.
Yeah.
And thank you for being such a wise teacher.
Thank you. Yes. Very wise lady.
Nature is there to help us with all our intentions, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I have a question that one of my friends wanted me to ask you.
Yeah.
The alchemist. My alchemist. He has that. I wanted to know, what role do you think or significance cannabis plays in the whole pantheon of the
ethnogenic?
Ethnogenic pharmacology and holistic healing.
Perfect. So, Mr. Alchemist, the importance, I would say it's very important, because cannabis being the first psychoactive compound that we have, you know, legalized to a recreational level now, I would say is going to help be the catalyst to other psychedelic and ethnogenic compounds, such as the mushrooms like you're seeing in Colorado, such as San Pedro and mescaline and dimethyltryptamine that you're seeing in Oakland. That's yeah. happening right now. I know Oregon is pushing for that. So cannabis is kind of that frontier to kind of spearhead the legal aspects of it. And in terms of the healing, I would say cannabis has played the biggest part in healing since ancient times. Yeah. And to really come out of the Kali Yuga and into the age of Aquarius, I would say it's a good thing that we see this reverse pull from technology back into agriculture with mm-hmm. cannabis being the forefronter. So it's really going to open up everything to regenerative farming practices, which entail is going to bring about a whole new line of studying and studying medicine. So thanks for that question, because that was a doozy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I.
It was.
It was a doozer. It was. I couldn't even read it. So it was a doozer.
Yeah, it was.
I think that the plants are definitely speaking to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
I think there's a scary movie about the plants going against us. Like, I don't remember the name of it.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Something like that. Maybe like the trees.
They're like sending the pheromones and telling people to like commit suicide, basically. Yeah,
yes.
No, it's a, yeah.
Yes.
It's a, yeah, it's pretty scary.
They
movie.
Communicate way different than us
it's
here.
It's true.
So I was thinking like maybe the plants are finally like, okay, it's time to work together.
Yeah, I feel like that's what a lot of what Terrence McKenna would say about the archaic revival. It's like the only way that we can stop this, like, straightforward path to our own demolition through all the bad things in the world is to go back to like shamanism and working with plant medicine and integrating that. Like he pretty much said, that's the only hope we have, and I completely agree.
Yeah.
And he also thinks that the mushroom specifically has like a very, or I'm sure ayahuasca or any natural hallucinogen too, weed has its own like consciousness.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And it speaks with us and you play with it.
Mm-hmm.
It is its
when
own
you
entity.
It, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's so cool.
You can tell when you're on those psychedelics, I think, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the strong difference between acid and mushrooms is that for me. Like on mushrooms, there's like an entity there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
with acid, I feel like that's real super connected to.
Yeah,
outer
space. More like
astral.
Cosmic in some way.
Yes.
Yeah. LSD is more astral and the mushrooms are more grounding and earthy.
That's, yeah.
I wonder if the LSD is more like technological because it's synthesized.
It could,
it's more of a
it
technology.
Could easily be.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a very distinct thing.
But it's like a bacteria, you know? So it's like in a, mm-hmm. in a virus perspective, like it has its own mind, but it's also like very constructed.
Like a digital entity
yes.
rather than an organic
yeah,
entity.
Right, right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Boundless.
DMT as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It doesn't have a super organic feel to me.
No, it doesn't.
And it is naturally occurring, but it is synthesized in the, mm-hmm. that way that we ingest it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Makes me just want to be in medicine right now.
Yeah.
I have so much I want to learn. From it, you know, mm-hmm. it seems like they've been teaching for a lot longer than I can remember learning
right.
at this point, you know,
yeah.
we're, what is it? We're the race of we're the Amnesians.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have forgot amnesia. All where we came from.
Yeah.
All that I think has been orchestrated on purpose too. And psychedelics really reconnect you with that part of yourself that's in tune with everything.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree with
yeah.
that.
Do you use psychedelics in ritual?
Like
in your magic practice?
I was with the spirit molecule.
Yeah.
I was, but I kept, remember I say I don't close my eyes.
So you do it in front of your altar with mm-hmm. an intention, yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had one of the last times I did it, it was coming near a friend's anniversary of death of my friend's sister, and I had been getting the weirdest feelings towards my friend, that weren't my feelings.
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
And I couldn't figure it out. I'd be mm-hmm. crying about my friend, and I'm like, I don't cry over my friends. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I just really miss her, and I can't figure out what's going on. Well, it was her sister that had passed away. Well, I'd gotten into medicine. I should have closed my eyes,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't, and I had my eyes open, and I turned to the side because I felt something, and then I see my friend's sister.
Wow.
And that kind of was, for me, like...
Did it scare you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It scared me pretty good.
Yeah.
Just because I had been trying to communicate with her, like, hey, you can't just scare me. You can't just try to tell me something by making me feel, like, shitty.
Yeah.
I don't know how to communicate that way.
Right.
Boundaries. Yeah. And I don't, like I said, I don't know. I just intuitively do things right now. I haven't mm-hmm. tapped into things.
Mm-hmm.
So that, when I seen her, I was like, almost instantly, I like closed my eyes and was like, no.
Yeah.
And I was scared at that point. And so I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. And that was on DMT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
DMT mm-hmm. and ritual is harder for that reason, I think. More because I just want to, like, lay down and close my eyes. Yeah. Have you tried mushrooms in ritual?
No.
That is a great combination.
5 grams. Yeah. 5 no, grams. That's silent in the dark, darkness. Though. Yeah.
If it's ritual, well, ritual, I would do more of, like, 1 or 2
yeah,
grams.
Yeah.
Well, I've only maybe. Ever taken 3.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I have been wanting to do 5.
Yeah. Do the 5.
Do the 5. Go all in.
Terrence McKenna's heroic dose.
I'm doing
There's
it.
No fooling around yeah. there, you know? There's just like, you're there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful place to be.
I like to close my eyes on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Same.
I'd love to. I mean, I have created so much fun to happen, you know?
Right.
But when I open my eyes, I see the little gnomes running through the grass. So I definitely feel more earthy when I take mushrooms, and I definitely feel more mechanical when I take LSD.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Intuition versus logic.
Yeah. Masculine versus feminine. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. I want to learn from you guys. Y'all have so much knowledge I want to know.
We're learning right now.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to listen to this over and
it's
over.
So much fun.
And over again.
This is good.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for taking time out of your Sunday, taking time away from your little boy
to
meet with me and to help seed the minds of anyone that will listen.
Thank you
so
much.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I just wanted to kind of wrap everything up. Because I wanted to say some things. I just first want to say how grateful I am to be able to do what I'm doing. I never would have thought I had the courage to put myself out here like I am. I feel like I have the courage to put myself out there because I see such great things that plant medicine can do for society. So I have put myself in a realm or a dimension or whatever it is I'm trying to say. I'm putting myself out there because I see the healing that it's doing for this planet and in just my world around me and the things going on around me. I see the absolute beauty in plant medicine and psychedelics and expanding your mind and seeing out of this three, you know, dimensional box that we're in. We're just using, we're not using enough just surface level. So I say that psychonauts, unite. Bring up that collective vibration. I am so thankful that you guys tuned in again for another episode of the Psychonauts Mirror, episode 5. What a glorious episode. I feel so lucky to be on this journey. Thank you for journeying with me and riding the wave and staying fluid throughout this entire process. I love you. I love you. I love you. Mm-hmm.